AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting has started, and they now have a double-digit gain in producer prices in May to factor in to their decision-making. You know, it's almost like a pro-farmer seminar on AgriTalk this morning. We're going to kick it off with the general economy and wrap it up with Market Outlook.
Live from the Rate Hike Roundup via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Vince Belanger from LaSalle Economics, then we'll talk with the Bryanstein, pro-farmer editor Brian Grady. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, buddy. Just heads up out there, everybody, and I know that you've seen all the warnings, but goodness gracious, it is already hot and muggy out there, and it is going to get much worse today before it starts to get better. So just be careful. Be careful out there today, everyone. Man. And there were some rough storms last night, dude. Did you see any of them?
I didn't see any here, but I definitely did hear about some. Sounded like quite the light show and some decent-sized hail in certain places.
Right, right. Over there, Big Apple Joe Stackler's in South Bend had a good show of a storm last night. And there were severe thunderstorm warnings throughout the Eastern Corn Belt. We talked with Kirk Hinz about it yesterday morning from BAMWX. He did a nice job of outlining where the greatest storm risk was for tomorrow, or for yesterday. Now, for tonight and tomorrow, dude, we're right in the middle of it.
Yes.
We are maybe not the exact bullseye of the severe storm potential, but we are certainly going to be dealing with it in the overnight.
Yeah, maybe, you know, time to have some candles at the ready type of thing, would you say? Ready to hit the basement as needed?
Well,
I don't know.
It's not the 1800s, so maybe have a flashlight.
Flashlight. Is that thing that goes when you're fighting the Empire?
No.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, you take it camping, you go out in the woods, you have your lightsaber. Oh, we're right over by the river, everyone. It's over there.
Yeah. You can cut a path.
Uh-huh.
It's easy.
Is that
no, just
a
regular old flashlight.
just a regular kind.
Just a regular old flashlight. Maybe you have one of those ready to go.
I don't have any of those.
But you got plenty of lightsabers.
I do.
That's great.
Lots.
That's great. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got, bud?
Well, let's start with some highlights from USDA's crop progress and condition update for the weekend of June 12. Corn, 97% planted. That's right in line with the five-year average. 88% emerged. The amount rated good to excellent slipped 1 point from last week to 72%. Soybeans, 88% planted, in line with average. 70% emerged. 70% rated good to excellent. That's up 8 percentage points from last week. Spring wheat, 94% planted. 72% emerged. 54% rated good to excellent. A massive improvement there. Winter wheat, 86% headed, 10% harvested. Cotton, 90% planted, 14% squaring, 46% rated good to excellent. A slight decline in the condition ratings of the cotton crop, Chip.
Right, right. People are kind of looking at that corn plant in progress saying, wow, okay, we got caught back up to normal. Wonder if USDA is regretting knocking those four bushels off of the trend line. Think about when we got caught up to normal. Right up through the middle of May, we were still way behind. We got past the optimum planting time, and that's when we got caught up. So a lot of that corn crop got planted later than optimum, and so I think they're probably still feeling pretty good about taking those four bushels off of the national average trend line yield.
Well, and that 97% planted on the corn, Karen Braun brought up an excellent point last week, and I think maybe we talked about it before, but we really won't know what 100% planted is until hindsight. Fair?
Yeah, that is exactly right. We're going to get the acreage report on June 30th, and even at that point, we really don't know for sure what that total planted acres is. They're probably, this is one of those years they're probably going to have to do a resurvey on acres.
Well, Chip, the S&P 500 is in a bear market after closing on Monday with a greater than 20% decline from its recent peak. According to Dow Jones market data, since 1929, the S&P has experienced more than two dozen bear markets. This time, it has been a quicker than average descent into bear territory at 111 trading days since the index's January 3rd record high.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that with Vince Malanga coming up here in just a little bit, what all of that means for attitudes going forward.
Well, the Labor Department reports the U.S. producer price index rose a seasonally adjusted 0.8% in May from the prior month. That's up from a 0.4% monthly gain in April, confirming inflation continued to rise. Producer prices had moderated somewhat in April after the March gain had been the highest since records began in 2010. Now, Chip, meanwhile, according to Freddie Mac, the average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage reached 5.09%, well above year-ago's rate, which was near 3%.
Yeah, again, these are all topics to discuss with Vince Malanga coming up here in just a bit. I know that he wants to talk about what's going on in the housing markets, and I know that he wants to talk about what's going on in the jobs market. But that acceleration of producer inflation costs, producer costs, that is very troubling. 10.8% year on year.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. Department of Defense has signed a $120 million deal with an Australian company to build the first heavy rare earths separation facility in Texas. The contract, which will be entirely bankrolled by the Pentagon, builds on a similar reward granted in February for a heavy facility in Mountain Pass, California. The contracts come as Washington looks to counter China's dominance of critical mineral supply chains. Yeah?
I'm just wondering exactly what's going to happen once we start operations on some of these mines, the rare earth heavy metal mines in the U.S., because the same people that are saying, hey, we need electric cars, are probably those that are going to say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? We shouldn't be opening up new mines.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the embattled Ukrainian city of Severodonetsk, I think I got that right, Severodonetsk. Anyway, this place in Ukraine, nearly completely controlled by Russian forces, according to Ukrainian military officials. The third of three main bridges to the city was deemed impassable on Monday, making evacuations extremely difficult and cutting Ukrainian supply lines. In a related note, with the U.S. spending roughly $130 million per day in military aid to Ukraine, plus economic and other assistance, current and former U.S. officials warn that more must be done to ensure arms and money are not diverted, stolen, or misused. And finally, Europe's energy costs are soaring in the wake of Russia's war on Ukraine, forcing some energy-dependent manufacturers to shut down. As of last year, Russia supplied about 40% of the EU's natural gas. Now Europe is preparing to ration gas if Russia shuts off supplies to the region. Chip.
All right, Davis. Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts happening out there, and we're going to try to gain a greater understanding of what they all mean for the economy, for the ag economy, and for your decision-making going forward. We've got a, like I said, it's a Pro Farmer Seminar. Malanga and Grady coming up next right here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Clarifly Larvicide, your feed-through fly control solution.
Produce higher yields and greater value at harvest. Timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
That was very appropriate.
I'm not a mind reader, Chip.
That was very appropriate because as we look at what's going on at the Federal Open Market Committee meeting today, tomorrow, it might be a I don't know what you're thinking kind of scenario here. And we're trying to get that all figured out. Whenever we need to bring some clarity to the economic outlook, gain a better understanding of what to expect over the months ahead, you know where we're going. It's Dr. Vince Malanga, president of LaSalle Economics out in New York. Vince, welcome back to AgriTalk.
How you doing, Chip?
Doing real fine, real fine. How are you out there? Staying well, cool?
Well, it's been cool in this part of the country. We have no complaints so far. We've only had probably 3 hot days. Hope it continues because the price of energy is so high. Save on electric bills anyway.
Yeah. We're going to talk some more about energy prices. But this morning we get this producer price index, which includes some energy costs. 10.8% gain in May. I mean, does that change the conversation at the FOMC meeting?
No, I don't think so at all for a couple of reasons. That's probably the least significant price measure that they look at. And even within the report, while the headline numbers were strong largely because of energy and food, you could find some slight hint of a moderation in some of the non-food, non-energy components. So not enough to get anybody excited, but not enough to make it a significant report.
Right. Until we see some relief on the energy side of things, Vince, it's going to be difficult for a slowdown in any of the prices out there to have a real impact on consumers or businesses, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be led by energy.
I think that's right. You know, energy and food are real culprits here for both internal and external reasons, and you know, some things we can do something about, others we can't at the moment. But, you know, the problem is, and the diesel market is particularly askew here because of refinery problems and global demand supply imbalances. But the problem is that diesel is such an important input for truckers, for transportation. And, you know, those costs have gone up a lot. And they have to be passed through, or they're at least going to attempt to pass them through. And so that's an imbalance which is yet to be rectified, but it's going to continue to make non-food, non-energy prices that we pay every day sticky.
Yeah. The overwhelming or the consensus going into the report is a half point increase. Any chance at a 3/4 point increase?
I think first of all, there's no question that they're going to raise rates and signal that they're going to raise rates further. Whether it's 50 or 75, I think there are legitimate arguments on both sides. I guess I would say, first of all, that this Fed has not wanted to surprise the markets. They wanted to telegraph everything. And so, that would somewhat reduce the odds of 75 to me, although they did signal through a Wall Street Journal source yesterday that they were seriously considering 75. Frankly, what I would like to see them do is to raise by 100, show that they're determined to fight this thing, get out ahead of the market rather than lagging behind the market, and then say, well, listen, we're raising by 100. You know, this is significant. We're going to step back now and assess things and see see how conditions transpire over the next month or two, and then we'll make another judgment in 6 weeks. But I doubt, I'd say the probability of them doing that is certainly less than 10%.
Okay, well, I'll just say this, Vince. You can tell that I've studied for the last couple of decades at the School of LaSalle Economics because I talked about that yesterday. I talked about that yesterday, and that would be the smartest thing to do. But you
well, these people haven't proved to be very smart, that's for sure.
So that's what you would like to see them do. This idea of telegraphing, this is one thing that's got me concerned, because every time, and you're exactly right, they want, it's like they want no surprises. Sometimes you got to give the market a surprise to get the results that you want, right?
I think so, yeah. I think, you know, a little bit of uncertainty is not a bad thing. And I'll tell you, you know, I think the economy is slowing down. Well, I think the economy is already in some sort of a recession in here. But I think in the next couple of months, and this is why I want them to do 100 basis points tomorrow, because I think if they did 100 in 6 or 8 weeks from now, they're going to see substantial slowdowns in a lot of sectors of the economy, and they're going to see an easing of price pressures in certain sectors of the economy. And so then they can say, ha, we've really done something significant here, and now maybe we can sit back and watch things and see how they develop.
Okay, what segments of the economy are you starting to see some indications of that slowdown?
Well, you know, people look, when they talk about recession, they look for slowdowns in the traditional sectors. But actually, right now, the technology sector, for example, is actually going into a recession, if not already in one. We're seeing announcements of layoffs. We just saw a couple of layoffs. We just saw an announcement of a layoff at Coinbase this morning. Silicon Valley is slowing down. I think the housing market is clearly in trouble in here, and we're going to see a significant slowdown in housing turnover over the next month, beginning in the next month or two, and that's going to give us a significant weakening in home prices as it develops. I think there's a mismatch between inventories and sales in the retail sector, and so we're going to see a slowdown in orders, markdowns, et cetera, et cetera. How that all translates into GDP, that's more statistical than real. But I think the point is that we're seeing increasing evidence of slowdowns across the economy. And it's going to carry with it some easing in price pressures. But we really do have to get a handle on this energy and food situation. I have my own thoughts on how we can do that. But,
well,
you know,
that's what
another
I was gonna
day,
ask.
I suppose.
Yeah. No, let's what do you want to see happen on the energy side to get a handle on the prices?
Well, what I would like to see, frankly, which I know is not going to happen because of the administration's tilt away from the energy, from cooperating with the energy sector. But what I would like to see the administration say, for the remainder of my term, I'm going to guarantee you $100 a barrel. Every time the price of oil slips below 100, we're going to buy and refill the strategic petroleum reserve. And in return for the guarantee of $100 a barrel and the lifting of all restrictions, I want you to produce flat out, maximize production. Let's flood the world with oil and gas so that we can drive Russia into bankruptcy.
Yeah. But you're exactly right. That goes against the tilt of the administration. And, hey, I mean, Vince, they've come out and said, listen, this is nothing more than a terrific, fantastic transition to cleaner energy.
And it's stupid. What are we trying to accomplish in Ukraine here? Is this going to be a slow bleed? But do we want to resolve this situation and resolve this situation in a way that's favorable for the world?
Right. Right. I'd just soon resolve the situation in a way that is favorable for the world. Couple of minutes left here, Vince.
That's the way you deliver a knockout punch.
Exactly. Exactly. Bankrupt the Russians and then let's hit the reset button and go forward from there. couple of minutes left. I want to hear your thoughts on the jobs markets. What do we need to watch most closely?
Oh, I think I think that's a key metric for the Fed going forward in here. And I think we're going to see a significant slowing in job growth in here. And we're going to keep watching the Thursday morning numbers on jobless claims. They're trending up. They're going to continue to trend up. We're going to see a narrowing in the gap between job openings and job seekers. And all of that's going to slow down. The labor market isn't going to deteriorate, I don't think, to the degree that it has in business in previous business cycles. But the pressures are going to ease, and that should calm down labor pressures and also contribute to a more moderate price structure and cost structure.
Okay. Vince, I was going to go with one more question, but we don't have time, and I'm not going to throw that on you. I'm just going to say thanks for making time for us and for another economics lesson here at LaSalle Economics U.
Watch Bitcoin below 19,000. Could be in trouble. Talk to you later.
All right. Bitcoin below 19K. Wow. All right. Vince Malanga, LaSalle Economics. We got Brian Grady coming up with Markets Now. That's next. And then he's going to stick around for the next segment with us.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
What if your commercial beef herd could be better than you thought possible? Genetic testing can help give you more confidence about what your herd is made of, and more importantly, what it can be. Inherit Select from Zoetis provides data-driven genetic insights to help you make more informed selection, breeding, and culling decisions about your cows and heifers. The journey from genetic potential to reality begins with Inherit Select. Ask a genetics rep how to save on testing with our whole herd promotion. Go to beefgenetics.com/radio. Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady Beach. Not a lot of action in corn and soybeans when you get right down to it today, is there?
No, pretty quiet, in all honesty. We do see some strength in the soybean market. We were a little bit firmer than this overnight on corrected buying, but that's really all it is just some correction trade. Soy oil market is firmer as well, but the meal market has weakened. And so that's probably the one that we need to watch moving into the close today and see if we can maintain the strength or not in soybeans if meal futures remain under pressure here.
Okay. The wheat market, it acted late yesterday like it was going to try to rally. It's come off the lows today, but we still got double-digit losses.
Yeah, I'm going to turn to the dollar. We're trading higher in the dollar, new for the move high there, and so that's putting pressure on the market along with that seasonal pressure as winter wheat harvest starts to pick up. So, just no real buyer interest in the market, and that's why we're weakening here this morning.
All right. Well, hey, take us over to the livestock markets. What's going on there?
Really quiet in live cattle futures, just waiting on the cash market to develop. And after yesterday's price performance, the expectation, I think, is that we will see weaker cash prices unless we can see the futures rebound. And they're trying a little bit here in the front end of the market, but just no real conviction behind the buyer interest so far. And then in the hogs, good solid performance yesterday on corrective trade, and we're seeing active follow-through in the summer month contracts this morning. So good solid price performance here through mid-morning.
Yeah, all right. Hey, stick around for the next segment, Brian. I need to talk about I've got a long list of topics that we're going to cover next with Brian Grady here on AgriTalk.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk, what more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us this morning. I'm your host, Chip Flory. And we're going to kind of continue this Pro Farmer seminar here on AgriTalk this morning. We've got Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady joining us. Beej, welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, great to be back, Chip.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I said it feels a lot like it because Vince has been featured at countless Pro Farmer seminars over the last 40 years, dude.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, he does a great job. Great, great perspective.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. And knows where to keep the focus. And it was kind of funny the way that he was talking about he'd like to see a full point increase. And I spent time yesterday talking about that with Davis in the afternoon show. I spent time talking about that yesterday morning in Signal to Noise with Jim Wiesmeyer, that a full point move and a little uncertainty and getting some swagger back at the Fed is exactly what they need to do. But I don't think they got the guts to do it, Beach.
Well, I, you know, 50 points is fully expected. I think 75 would be a shock, and a full point would be absolutely just fall on the floor shocking. So I think it's between 50 and 75 at this point in time. But they've been pretty transparent. 50 is what's anticipated.
Yeah. Yeah. Transparent is exactly right. I'd like to, when you get into a time like this and you're really fighting inflation, you're fighting it. When you're fighting something, I don't think you need to telegraph each and every move that's coming. Let there be a little bit of surprise factor in there. Do you agree with that?
Well, you have to get out in front at some point in time, and the Fed's been trailing this entire time. I mean, you know, we talked about it, but that transitory stance that they held all of last year was just, you know, it was wrong. And they stuck with it too long, and now, you know, here they are, and you know, I don't know, they're trying to fight a wildfire with a, you know, hand water pistol or something, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Brian, picking up some comments coming from cattle country, feed yard country, Kansas, Nebraska, North Platte yesterday. Good Lord. I mean, at 10 o'clock last night, BJ, it was still 95 degrees. That is like zero relief for those cattle in those feed yards. And there's talk today that yesterday was a seriously bad day for death loss out there. When we talk about weather premium in the livestock markets, we're usually doing that in the winter and talking about, you know, disrupted transport of market ready animals. But in the summertime, there can be a need for weather premium when we get into the risk of death loss like we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, and we're definitely not seeing that. I mean, we're seeing the front end of the market, June and August contracts trading. I just called about $134, and last week's cash trade was $140. So not only is there not weather premium, they are at a significant discount, in anticipation that we'll see supplies build seasonally here and those types of things. But the market definitely has not reacted to any of the death loss talk that's out there.
Right, and if we would tighten up numbers and it wouldn't take much of an increase in death loss to have an impact on the balance in the cash market, would it? I mean, if we would take 5,000 head out of the market over the course of a week, it would that have much of an impact?
Well, a couple things here. You know, first off, the front end supply is really current right now. The feedlots did a great job through winter and spring of getting current. The supplies are tighter in the northern market than they are in the southern market. So not only do you have a regional impact here, but you also, you know, like I said, the feedlots have more negotiating power right now because they are current. And so I do think it would have an impact. It, you know, not only would impact the cash market, but it should impact the front end of the futures.
Gotcha. Okay. What about the crop markets, grain markets, oilseed markets? They're looking at this heat and really don't seem to be showing much concern out there. That's probably the right read, isn't it?
Absolutely, I think so. You know, at this point in time, you know, the heat probably does wonders. You can almost hear the corn growing, as they say. And you know, it just a lot of these areas, they have ample soil moisture.
Right.
We had, you know, obviously a wet spring, and so this is kind of giving them a kickstart. Now, if you roll the clock forward a month, and we're sitting here, and it's July 15th or 14th, and now there's some issues, real concerns and those types of things. And so that's why it's important to watch the weather as we move forward. But I don't think that heat at this time is a negative for the crop.
Okay, well, take us out a month. What is your weather guy saying? Is heat at this time of the year, is it predictive of heat in 30 days, in 60 days?
Well, World Weather, and we use them, Drew Lerner and his group, mm-hmm. you know, we use them as a primary weather source, but they just put out a special yesterday that said that, you know, this high pressure ridge, heat dome, whatever you want to call it, isn't necessarily an omen for what's ahead during the summer. Now, it could, but at this point in time, it looks like this will be a kind of a one-off event, and there'll be some rains coming on the back end of it, and you're going to have that intermittent, you know, periods of heat and periods of rain and stuff like that. If that pans out, that's pretty favorable for crop development as we move into pollination. So that's something to watch, but World Weather doesn't think that this is a negative omen in terms of what's ahead for the summer, this heat dome this week.
Okay. I was driving around the middle and eastern corn belt last week, and I felt like the corn crop was a little slow in development. It looked good. There are some weed issues that are developing out there. But what's your feeling about this corn crop right now with the condition ratings and so on that you've got?
Well, condition ratings, obviously, a week ago, 73% was the initial rating, very strong above average start. It dipped by a point as of Sunday and down to 72%. Given this week's heat, it's probably going to decline another point or maybe a little bit more than that next Monday's report, or actually next Tuesday's report, because Monday's a market holiday. It's still a highly rated crop at this point in time. I think that it's off to a good start. It was a delayed start, but, you know, all things, you know, given right now, I think you couldn't ask for a much better situation after that slow start. So I think we're fine. You know, when you look at the crop condition ratings right now, they project out to a yield of a 177.5 historically. So now you have to take 2012 out of that, but that was an outlier, and nobody's predicting a 2012 repeat at this point in time. But I think USDA, with its projection, you know, they came down 4 bushels from trend line in May to 177 because of the slow planting pace. They didn't add any back last Friday, even though we caught up to the normal planting pace. But it feels like that 177, like I said, 177.5 is about the right number.
Okay. All right. So maybe, you know, when we had the supply and demand or the WASD updates on Friday, anything in particular from those reports catch your attention?
No, not really. You know, I think that typically in June, the supply and demand is just a fine tuning, and that's basically what it was. Now, you know, corn ending stocks came in higher than what was anticipated.
Yeah.
And soybean ending stocks came in lower than what was anticipated, but not enough to really have a market impact. The numbers that could have a market impact come on June 30th, and that's the acreage and grain stocks and those types. And they historically have been much more market moving than what the June WASD has been.
Right, right. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. What do you want ProFarmer members thinking about over the next 30 days?
Well, I think you got to look at the corn market and say, well, we've got nearby futures trading at, let's call it 760, 765, whatever. We got the new crop futures trading at 720, 721 in that area. Just keep that in perspective. I mean, we have a crop that's rated very highly and heading into pollination within the next month or so, and with these types of prices. Soybean market, the front end is trading at, you know, over $17. New crop futures are trading at 15 and a quarter, we'll call it, everything needs to be in perspective. Now, is there more upside? Sure, but boy, you sure have to cover some risk, I think, at these price levels if you haven't already done so.
Yeah. Well, on the bean side of things, too, good grief. Last week, and now we're 75 cents off the highs, but last week we made new highs, and we were within range of getting to the all-time highs last week. I mean,
yes.
Great selling opportunities.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, when it comes to markets, everything has to be in perspective. And you just have to say, okay, is this too good of an opportunity to pass up? We're not trying to sell highs here.
Right.
You shouldn't be trying to pick the top in the markets. If you are, it's probably not the right risk management approach. You should be looking to congregate or you know, just put a lot of those sales in these high price levels so that you get that good average, strong average price at the end of the marketing year.
Gotcha. Beej, good stuff, buddy. Really appreciate you making time for us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Okay, when we come back, Davis and I are going to put a wrap on today's Pro Farmer seminar here on AgriTalk. We've got to recap some of the outlook and the items, the issues that both Brian and Vince say we need to focus on in the days ahead. We'll do that next right here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Find farm equipment on Machinery Pete's June 21st. Online auction, no reserve, no buyer fees. Start bidding now. Auctions.machinerypete.com. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning on your favorite agricultural radio station or your preferred digital device. Your pal Davis Michelson here with your beloved host, Chip Floriel Pedroni. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well, Davis. Hi. Things are going well. Yes.
Great. I'm glad to hear that.
Stay cool, buddy.
I'm trying. Yeah. It looks like it's 88 degrees outside here locally, but I do also have an interior thermostat. And I've got my thermostat. I'm in the basement, so it's cooler here. Upstairs, yeah. I've got my thermostat locked in at 75 degrees.
Sure.
Because, you know, I would like to have.
I'm a 76 guy.
I'd like to have money for food, too, in addition to air conditioning. But
exactly.
Here in the broadcast laboratory, we're at a balmy 69 degrees currently. I'm comfortable. Yeah.
There's
good.
Something to be said for basement dwelling, isn't there?
Bro, I can't sell it hard enough. It's the best. The best.
The problem is in the morning after a night like last night, you come down and you can't see out because of all the condensation on the windows. Yeah.
Well, and I'm fixing to go upstairs and, you know, make myself a nice lunch in the kitchen, and it's going to feel like a sauna up there. That's
right.
The other thing. I'm acclimated now.
Yes.
Vince, I really like Vince's plan with the energies.
Yeah. Produce, baby, produce. Every time it gets under 100, let's start buying it and refilling the SPR.
Yes. Yes. It's led me to a thought. I was talking to my dad yesterday. He's got a couple of Johnny Poppers out in the barn that he's restored. And he decided yesterday was the day he was going to just sort of fire them up. He just fires them up every once in a while, just lets them run a little bit. You know, you've got to exercise the gaskets type of a thing.
Yes.
He said he had gone to fill up
his gas cans for not only those, but also, you know, he's got a pretty sizable lawnmower, you know, with the acreage and everything. And they cut him off at $100. I don't know if that's a standard measure at like a Quick Star Casey's kind of a joint.
Yeah.
But it felt a little bit like, it felt a little spooky, like rationing, you know? I don't know how close we are to that or not. Well, I don't want to raise a panic.
That's pretty much standard operating procedure. You know how to get around that, right?
How's that?
Put the card in again.
Just use your card again.
Use your card again.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking about this green energy. And this kind of goes back to Vince's comments. I mean, it's the way our system is heading. I get that. Okay, I have no problem with that. We've talked about the administration officials, however, lauding the fact that higher energy prices are sort of pushing us away from fossil fuels toward more green sources of energy, but the infrastructure just isn't there. You can't just flip the switch and say, okay, we're going to be all green now, everyone. It's going to be great. It doesn't work that way. I don't want to paddle out too deep into political waters here, so just change the subject quickly if I get too deep, Chip. Given Washington's propensity for optics...
Yeah.
Is it possible that this Congress and this administration are just flat too eager to be able to say, we're the ones that made the transition? Because it seems like it's a better legacy to be able to say, we shepherded the nation into green energy and managed the transition smoothly without excessive energy price inflation, without power outages, without gasoline rationing. The optics of that seems a whole lot stronger.
Well, that's what they are hoping for, but who's to say that $5 national average gas price isn't excessively high gas prices? You got diesel fuel prices over $5.50 national average, over $5.60. I guess having significant impacts on people's bottom lines. To the point, this is one thing that we haven't talked about in the jobs market yet, but in the pursuit of higher revenues, coming out of the pandemic, people were willing to drive.
Yes, they were.
For those higher revenues. They're not willing to do that now.
Nope.
They are looking to get that job closer to home. I've heard the story too many times now to not say something about it, because that is going to start to have an influence on this jobs market going forward. It's going to have to become even more fluid than what it has been. And I don't know exactly what that means for us going forward, but it's going to be another change.
Well, and part of high gasoline prices, you know, I suppose it's relative to your definition of the word unconscionable, as we've been told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moving on.
Hey, real quick on your rationing of gasoline.
Yes.
One of the major grocery slash it's Hy-Vee.
Okay.
I was just told by a listener that they put a 20-gallon limit on it.
20 gallons?
Yeah, not a dollar limit, but a 20-gallon limit.
That cuts deep.
That is more into the rationing than putting a dollar limit.
Well, I will tell you after the conversation.
You may be able to get around it by putting the card back in again. I don't know.
Right. Well, and after the conversation, I'll be honest. I'm not one given to panic, but I did swing by my local gasseteria and filled up to the very brim in my beloved news Jeep, just in case. Malanga, we don't know it. You and me, we know so little about crypto. It's sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch Bitcoin under 19K. Do you even know what to make of that? I do not.
First off, it was Bitcoin under 19K. I got a couple of texts from listeners that had kind of just turned things on and said, "Wait a second. Did he just say down 19,000?"
No, no, no. Bitcoin.
No.
Bitcoin
under 19,000. It becomes really ugly out there. I'm sorry. Bitcoin, let's see, I called it up. 22,637. It was at in November, middle of November 2021, it was 64,000 plus, 64,400 in November of last year, and it is now under 23,000. They've got these young investors on there that say, oh, yeah, no, I bought it all the way up and I just keep buying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, that you try to say to them, do you know what that means? Is there anything really backing this Bitcoin up?
And right.
Well, no, it's an asset that's going to continue to appreciate in value over time. Really?
Because
Why?
We keep pouring money into it.
Because we keep buying it.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, thanks for listening this morning. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, this afternoon with Andy Wold, Producer's Edge.